Today's first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious to my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you. Nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 29, found in your handouts or on page 620 of the Red Prayer Book. And we'll read it together. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf. And Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord splits the flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, Glory! The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore. The Lord shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace.
The epistle for today is from the Acts of the Apostles. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So our question for today, for us to explore, is what does your baptism mean? Today is the first Sunday in Epiphany, and we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. We celebrate what it means to be followers of Jesus the Christ and the beloved children of our God. In our scriptures today, we encounter readings that are so profound that it's really hard to take in. Isaiah, our reading in Isaiah, is a love poem from God to the people that God created, formed, redeemed, and called by name. The psalm is a prayer of rejoicing, rejoicing in God's power and presence, rejoicing done in the face of a mighty storm. Acts is the story of Peter and John praying and bringing the Holy Spirit to the Gentile people of Samaria. Luke is the story of Jesus' baptism. All these scriptures build on each other, and combined they create a powerful epiphany for us personally, especially Luke and Isaiah. These two readings are paired for a reason. They are designed to help us understand what it means to be a child of God. Now, how many of you remember your baptism? Many of us were baptized as young children, so we don't have strong memories. Some of us who do remember our baptism maybe only have memories of a lovely white outfit and being the center of all the attention that was going on. But do you remember? Do you have any vague memories of your baptism? What do you remember? And what does your baptism mean to you when you reflect back on it from this vantage point of being a disciple of Christ for your life? Through the waters of baptism, God marks us and claims us as God's own children. Through the waters of baptism, God seals us in God's love. No matter what we might have done or what might happen in our lives, we are sealed in God's love. He has called us by name. We are God's. Through the waters of baptism, God gives evidence to each of us of what God says to Jesus in Luke 3:22. You are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Wow. Can you take that in? Luke's narrative of the divine baptism acquaints us with Jesus' sacred nature as the Christ and acquaints us with our privileged place as his siblings, the beloved children of God. And Isaiah deepens that connection by reminding us that our core identity lies in God's identification of us as precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. That's powerful. Today's reading in Isaiah is an anthem celebrating our relationship with the divine. It answers the questions, who am I? Where do I belong? What makes me worthy? These questions are always in the back of our minds because we're human. We're wounded, we're flawed, and we feel deeply unworthy most of the time. At least I do. I don't know if that's the same for everyone, but it is for me. These questions are there, and they never quite go away. Even when you read some of these scriptures who so clearly tell us how important we are to God and how loved we are by God. So let's explore these readings and see how it anchors our definitions of ourselves, our very selves as beloved children of God. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. God says to the prophet Isaiah, and through the waters they shall not overwhelm you. We don't get to cross above the water or through the water. We have to go, but we have to cross through it. We are all going to face the waters of life. And sometimes crossing through the waters of life is very difficult. And we know from experience that the waters can be rough and we can feel adrift. But God says, I will be with you. I will be with you. The Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, will be with you as you pass through the difficult waters of life. Centered in the presence and power of God, we can survive all of life's rough waters. Together, we are members of a community that has been created and formed by God, a family of faith that the Lord addresses with these words, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." So when you pass through the waters of life, here are some tips to help you keep that in mind. One, remember that it's in your blood. We are family. God has called us by name and made us his own. This ability to pass through the waters runs in our family. All of us, all of God's family have done it before. We'll keep doing it. We can do it. And when you do, God is with you. As the waters roar around you, remember to pray. That would be my second hint. Give thanks and praise to Jesus every step of the way, every day of your life. Just like in today's psalm, the practice of our faith through prayer sustains us. Number three, keep an eye on your footing. Even when there is chaos all around, God says, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Trust the footing that God provides. He won't let you put your foot astray. Number four, accept the safety line offered by God. Fortunately, we have been given a safety line because some of life's most daunting challenges may really knock us right off our feet. I don't know about you, but I've had several times in my life where I've not only felt knocked down, I felt slammed to the dirt and wondered how I was going to stand back up and live in God's presence as a child of God. Isaiah says, because you are precious in my sight and honored and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God is committed to us as his family. God makes a serious investment in our safety, saying to the Israelites that he has paid a ransom of entire nations to buy them back from slavery. This is similar to the safety harness God offers us in the New Testament. When Jesus tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Number five, remember you are blessed. The God of all creation has given you the gift of life and says to you, do not fear, for I am with you. Even when circumstances threaten to overwhelm you, God promises you his presence and his power. And finally, number six, know that even in the face of the most insurmountable obstacles, you do not walk alone. Your ancestors in the faith are at your side, and God promises to bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. That's the communion of all the saints. That's the family of God. Whenever you stand at the edge of enormous personal challenges, know that the community of faith is all around you, offering encouragement, guidance, empathy, and inspiration. We always face these challenges together, as people created for God's glory, formed and made by a loving God. The comforting and hopeful words of Isaiah 43, 1 through 7 are easier to read and write about than they are to hear and to believe. This is a passage we need to return to over and over, just as we need to be reminded of our baptism. I think it's hard to take in just how much we are loved by God, that we are the beloved, that we are called by name and loved by our God. So words this good, love this uncommon, take time to be believed, to be absorbed, to be incorporated into your sense of who you are. So, your homework assignment for this week is to take the bulletin home with you, and during your prayer time, read the Isaiah again. Read it once a day during the upcoming week. I don't care what time of day, if you can't quite get on a schedule, sometimes my prayer time changes. But sit with it, read it, and as you pray the scripture, invite it to enlighten your heart, to become part of who you are. Repeat to yourself, I am a beloved child of God. Allow yourself to take in what it means to be a beloved child of the divine. Take in each glimmer of love and kinship that comes to you. Know that you are a beloved child of God. Allow it to nourish your soul and your faith. Savor each glimmer of God's love and grace and give thanks. Then resolve to live your life in such a way that you show God's love and grace to a needy world. Amen.